This side needs a little work over here, but we've got time. We've got time. I love it, man. Simply amazing. Big Poppy's here with us. Suffered a serious injury Friday night, man. And he's got his leg brace on. We're going to do an MRI this week, possibly. But it's great to have you in the house. Well done, Warrior. Well done. It is great to have Gary and Sue back with us today. We prayed for you. Welcome home. What a journey. What an adventure. One that you didn't choose for yourself. But we've prayed for you, and here you sit this morning. It is a joy to have them. They've been in Peru and gone through a heck of a time together. But they're sitting over here. They're an answer to our prayers being here this morning. Some of you survived yesterday. The planets were moving around, but we're still here. And God is still in control. Amazing stuff is happening in our galaxy. And He's in charge. Amen? Amen. You watch Fox or CNN right now, you wonder, is He in control? And the answer is yes. Okay? The answer is yes. We might as well start the service like that, just so you know where we're going. Control versus faith. Boy, do we need it. More than ever. And today, I welcome you into this series called Simply Amazing. And it's when life encounters things matched with Jesus, things change. My life changes. I'm seeing young men's lives change. Lecrae came out with an album yesterday, one of my favorite rap artists. Man, solid stuff. It is going to fill this community. As far as I'm concerned, guys will hear that playing on my phone. And if you're not into rap music, people are. And the word is strong, the word is real, and boy, do we need solid teaching in our music. And I'm aware that God is simply amazing, even in rap music. Last night, we'd be jamming, right? The Wailers were in town, and probably half our congregation knows who was over there. All I know is, man, we have musicians with talent on loan from God. Some realize it, some don't realize it. Some use it for Him, some just use it for whatever glory they're looking for. But we have artists that are out there that are busting it for Jesus. We need to get behind them. We need to get that word out. I'm one of those guys to want to do that. But we're really in this series looking at this word amazing. Amazing. The Bible says that people were amazed at Jesus' presence everywhere He went. The place was packed. Crowds everywhere, creekside, waterside, riverside, mountainside, synagogues. If Jesus was in the house, it was a packed house. If you weren't here last week for part one, you might want to catch up on the internet, online, to see what we talked about last week. But it was really about sacrifice being the investment to greatness. I didn't start with faith like I am today, because you can't get there unless you sacrifice. Something's got to be sacrificed to have faith. Amen? So you can't start with faith and then go to sacrifice. It's the other way around. So that's why we're here today. And if you remember last week, I asked you to come back fully prepared to remember the one statement, which was, what? Okay, great. All right. Maybe if you were...
Oh, gosh.
Maybe we need to go online right now. But anyway, I said this box was the image right here. This box right here, not that box, this box, is the image of something we need to put in there, something we need to sacrifice to have our faith. And boy, the list was endless, and I don't need to go into the details of my own, but stuff needed to come out, something needed to go in there. I needed to move towards greatness in my life, and I needed to give up something. And it looks different for each person here, but when you hear the word Jesus, what do you think of? Okay. What have you done with Him? What are you doing with Him? And I talked basically about where do you go when you hear the word? And we have some options. Last week we talked about how some people just simply get it over with and reject Jesus. People that come in here actually make a mistake coming in. They hear some music out front, think it's, you know, something different, and they walk in. When they hear the word Jesus, they walk out. And they've just gone ahead and made a decision. I've heard about Him. I realize there is fact that He is real. He was a guy that walked the planet. I understand that. But what I have a problem with is whether or not he was who he said he was. The Son of God? I mean, come on. Fully God, fully man? I get issues with that. So I agree, he walked the planet. So did a lot of other important people. But saying you're God, I got issues. So the rejection test there. Others, you've heard about Jesus, and not only heard about him, but you've gone down the opposite road, the extreme. He's in charge of your life, man. He is running your life. He is your CEO. He is the real deal. You are a Christian. Christ won, a follower of Christ. We talked about the two extremes. Okay, one extreme is you really can't see any transformation in someone's life, like fruit. You can't see anything that's going on there. And even though they are card-carrying Christians, you can't really tell. And then you have the others. On the far extreme, basically Jesus Jr., every single thing that could go right, they give, you know, it's all perfect. Everything in life is great. We got these extremes on both sides. I don't know where you are, but I had you identify yourself in the sacrifice is the investment for greatness. Week two, I'm calling this, where losing control is a good thing. Losing control is a good thing. We're going to talk about that today. As a matter of fact, the way I want to start is how I want everybody to respond to the word control. Okay? I'm going to give you a phrase, and I want everybody to vote whether you think it's a good thing or a not-so-good thing. All right? So the first one is this. I am out of control. Raise your hand if you think that is a positive. Okay? Excellent. All right, raise your hand if you think that is a negative. All right, out of control. Good. Okay. Good. Second one is I am a control freak. Anyone think that that is a positive thing? Raise your hand. Okay. Negative. Got a couple back there. Negative. All right. Everybody else. Interesting. Those who haven't been accused of it yet, but you're thinking we're going there. Here we go. I'm in control of my life. How many think that's a positive thing? Even though you're sitting there going, I have a feeling you're going to tell me that it's not. Raise your hand. Okay. How many think that's a negative thing? I'm in control of my life. Okay. Some are undecided and still letting their food digest. Interesting. Okay. A lot more on the negative, though, for that one. Typically, being in control in our culture is a positive thing. Being in control on this island, it seems like, is a positive thing. You got a small town. You see people here about every 5 minutes on the sidewalk or the brew house or wherever we're at. I mean, you're just rubbing elbows. How's it going? Great. How you been? Good. How's work? Busy. Control. I got this, okay? I remember growing up. In fact, I gave this gift to a friend of mine for Christmas a few years back. How many remember that show, Get Smart, on TV? Anybody? Right? Maxwell Smart, Agent what? Agent 86, man, right? Oh, yeah. This was the show. For those of you who are younger in your 30s or less, you missed out, man. This was the I Ching of shows. This guy was so good. He was so funny. Anyone remember the name of the organization he worked for was called Control. Remember? Anyone remember the enemy, the bad guys, who he was going after? Chaos. Interesting. And a lot of us seem to think, you know, that when chaos is in charge and chaos is running, then we are definitely not in control. Good example. Get Smart. Love the show. Good, evil, chaos, control. Yeah, it kind of works. But we like to be in control. We like to blame people who have too much control because we call them control freaks. I like to be in control, but I'm not a control freak. Okay, you know the difference. The controlling person likes to drive a car. You want to drive the car, okay? The control freak wants to drive someone else's cars when it's not theirs. Get it? Okay? Control. We like to have a clean, organized house, don't we, hon, wherever you are, okay? Our kids need to have their bedroom cleaned, right? A control freak cleans up after the cleanup. You're straightening where they straightened. You're going around and still cleaning where it was already done, right? You guys tracking with me? Got the difference here? Some of you are going, I'm not going to admit it. You crazy, man? Forget it. We like to be in control, and we also like to control others in their environment. But nobody likes to admit that they really like that, okay? No one likes to admit it. It's hard. And so for that reason, I would like to start by admitting that this morning. Let me help you. I like control. There are times where I just want to take over. I like to be in control of environments. People say, hey, you look like you have a lot of fun up there in what you do. And I do, because I'm in control. And because I have the mic. Actually, I'm really not in control at all. The sound guy is ultimately in control. So if you choose to turn me up, turn me down, mute me, shut me up, lights go off, you're ultimately in control. I get it. But here's the deal. Talking with a few people up front when church is over is my favorite thing. Where did the Holy Spirit go? What did he say to someone? What is he doing? Those conversations up front are priceless. Catch me out on the sidewalk, I'm a wreck. Get me in the brew house talking to someone, I'm a wreck. In a small environment where I can listen and make, you know, eye-to-eye, knee-to-knee contact, and I'm listening to someone, it's great. As soon as someone comes up and starts goosing me, or they flick me in the ear, you know who I'm talking about all the time, or I've got, you know, just someone going, Hops, what's up? I'm distracted, I'm all over here, I'm flustered. I'm not listening, I'm not hearing someone's story and what's going on. I can't get control of that conversation. And it happens sometimes at a game, okay? I know I help out with football. It's one of my favorite things to do is to be needed, to do what I love to do. And oftentimes Mike will say, Hops, over here, you know, and I'm working on this situation. I'm fully engaged in this kid. And then all of a sudden here, Hops, 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 Hops. And I'm turning around, there, three kids are all injured at the same time, and I'm out of control. I can't figure out which kid is the high priority, and I lose it. I don't feel good anymore. It's awkward, okay? Last weekend, two people came up to me when the service is over, and they caught me throughout the day, and literally they said that I used the word in the sermon last week that I was a dumb pastor. But what they thought they heard was dumb fatherless child, okay? And I was like, no, you didn't hear that. I made reference that I was a dumb pastor. I would not say the other thing up front here. No. Then there's that 10% club, okay? I like to call them the 10% club. They typically just do not like me. I stick with 10%. I stick with 10%. There are haters. There's probably a larger number than that. But 10% works for me. But that's kind of where I put my mind. I just get up and there's those that are there to attack. You got your list. Come on. You got your list. There's a target on your back when you get up in the morning. And I like to settle back. I don't feel safe. Sometimes I don't feel safe. Physically, I think, hey, I can take them, you know, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the emotional stuff and like, what are they thinking about me? What do they say about me? You know, it's out of control. As a pastor, you know, there's a captive audience. You want to let go before you walk up here. Because this is certainly not an ego thing or about it in any way. In fact, it's not a lot of fun at all. It's just being obedient. I think research and seeing what God has to say is fun, but delivering sometimes can be an absolute nightmare. You have no idea sometimes what we see or even hear or the people that say things when it's over and the emails and all the stuff. So control gets out of control. I don't feel safe, and oftentimes I like control, and so do you, because you want to feel good. Nobody's controlling in order to feel bad. We want to feel good, but there's a dark side to this, okay? For you, it may not be about being safe. It may not be about insecure. Those may not be your issues. Maybe it's other things. And I made a list here. So you have room on your notes. Natalie did a great job this week. There's stuff on the back and stuff on the front. little notes section there. If something hits home here, jot it down. What it might be. What it might be. You may control because you're afraid of failure. You may control because you're afraid of intimacy. You may control because you try to get others to love you. Maybe that's a big deal. You may control because you want to feel powerful. Or how about because of how small the world makes you feel? How about because you don't trust others and you've been hurt before as a result of that? Maybe you just got a large ego. And a large ego points back to being insecure, and you compensate by a more than attitude because you feel less than inside. How about because you were controlled as a child? You may be controlling because you're afraid of what other people think of you. You may control because your whole life is out of control, and you've got to control something, so you want to have some sense of control. What's my point? My point is we are all into this. We're all into this. As a matter of fact, and you said, that's me. If any of those hit home, raise your hand this morning. I want you to. Raise your hand. If any of those at all hit home, raise your hand. See? Look around. We're all into this. Our team that serves here on Sunday morning is into this. The guys behind the scenes, we're talking real turkey. Because that's the way we are. We pray at 9:30. Some of the first stuff that comes out is my stuff. I need prayer. I need way prayer. Lots of prayer before anything happens for me on a Sunday. You're not alone. You're not alone in this thing. And the more we control, the better we feel. The more we control, the better we think we feel. But there's nothing wrong with wanting to feel good. There's nothing wrong with that at all, unless control replaces something that is more valuable to you. Unless control replaces something that will add more joy and hope and peace and help your countenance and your relationships and your decision-making skills. Some of you guys make a lot of decisions in a very small window of time. Some of you work with a lot of people, some with a lot of kids. You're not just a teacher. Maybe you're a counselor. Maybe you're working in the coves. Hundreds of decisions in just a few minutes of time. And that control gets in the way sometimes, or wanting to feel good. What I'm here to tell you is control does replace something. What does it replace? Faith. Control replaces faith. As a matter of fact, what I want to say to you this morning is that they can't coexist. I found this out painfully, but they can't. Take my word for it. And maybe you can see this in real life scenarios. So let's break it down. Flip your notes open. Take a look. Real life scenarios. When it comes to my friendships, do I try to control my friendships or do I have faith in God that He's in control of them? How about this one? If I'm single and I'm dating, I'm trying to control and manipulate that person I'm dating so that they'll see me as somebody I'm not. Or do I be the person that God's created me to be and have faith that God is in control? How about this one? My marriage. Am I trying to restructure my spouse? Am I trying to manipulate or control that person so they're more like me and make me feel better? Or am I having faith that God's in control of a situation in their life? And as a result, designing the marriage to be the way He wants it to be. That's a hard one, especially over the years. What about children? I don't want to look bad, so am I controlling of them because I'm afraid they'll reflect poorly on me in front of people? Man, I had that happen. First couple kids, I'd see their behavior in church. Pastor, oh great, you know? I remember that. Or do I trust that in God's hands He sees them as the original masterpiece? He'll take charge of them. I do my job as a pastor. Doesn't mean I overlook things. But controlling them, I need to shepherd their heart, and that's a big deal. What about this? Career, work, school, trying to work the system to manipulate, control, direct a path? Or do I have faith that I do the possible and live a life of integrity and work hard. I've had to recently look at that in my own life. Small areas that need some integrity. They need some cleanup. I personally wasn't even aware of a couple of them, but people made me aware of them. Thank God I have those kind of people in my life. They're not accountability people. They're friends. And they help me clean up some stuff and some integrity. It's good. Very good. How about this? Health, pain, illness. Am I trying to control those, or have I given up that to faith that God is ultimately in control? My finances. Oh my gosh. Am I trying to control the money that comes in? Figuring it out. This gymnastics thing to work for me, work against me. My finances. Ultimately, that money is on loan to me from God. It's His. It's His. I'm just supposed to be a good steward of it. Conflicts. Relationships. You can see where I'm going with this. Where faith is needed in these domains of my life. Losing control is often a what? Very good thing. It's a very good thing. Kind of a twist on words here. Losing control can work for you here. Here's what I found to be true in my life and others' lives that I've watched. We don't set out to eliminate God from our lives. We don't set out to do that. But in the pursuit to feel better, it's always easier to control family and friends, environment, situations, than it is to have faith. It's always easier. In the pursuit to feel better, wanting the quick fix, it's always quicker to try to control than to have faith. The problem is when we're controlling, when that is our default that we go to, we're limiting God. Amen? I hate that, but we need to amen that. That is it. We limit God when we go to the default of control. Actually, we lose perspective of His power altogether and His presence and His position, which is ultimately in control. There's a picture up on the screen for a reason, man. I got to get a reset. I get in the matrix here in this town just like all y'all do. This week, Monty took a couple of us out on a boat. Man, I was reset quick. It is so beautiful outside. It is so big when you sit on Whale's Tail and you see this unbelievable sunset, or stand at Blackjack and the stars look like you can reach up and grab them. God is bigger than what we see in front of us, okay? He's bigger. And resets are important in our life. Jesus was amazing. And I'm doing a little twist this week. I want to show you the two times that Jesus was simply going crazy here and He was amazed at. Okay, everybody was amazed at Jesus. Everybody. It says everywhere He went, He drew a crowd. He absolutely was following His Father. As you can see in this video, something's happening here. And with this crowd that's following Jesus, someone broke through. Someone who absolutely had a lot of authority. In fact, a centurion had at least 100 people underneath him. Soldiers that were at his command. This was a decision maker, my friends. He was a very powerful leader. And yet he was in a bind. We're looking at this story this morning simply because there's a nugget in here of letting go. And I love this simplicity of the man coming to Jesus and approaching Him and explaining to Him something very simple. My servant is not well. In fact, this servant was close to Him. He was close to Him in such a sense that he was like a son. Okay? Considered Him a son. All the Gospels tell this story. Some go into more detail. Speaking of Him, my son is ill, some say. Let's take a look this morning in your notes. If you can have house lights come back up. Mark 6:1, it's in your notes if you want to look at it and flip it over. There's a couple blanks there too. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with His disciples to Nazareth, His hometown. The next Sabbath, He began teaching in the synagogue. Many who heard Him were astonished. Okay? Other translations use the word amazed. They asked, "Where did He get all the wisdom and the power to perform such miracles?" Okay? What I want you to understand is This was his hometown, okay? People knew him based on all of his bros and sisters, everything from his family. This was his hometown. First 30 years of his life, growing up in a carpenter's home. So everybody knew Jesus. Everybody knew of his family. They've seen him in the synagogue, walking around in and of a, you know, his busyness, in the synagogue teaching as a child even. Well-known figure. Okay? They were astonished at his teaching. But because they grew up with him, they had a different opinion of him. And it led to doubt. You know what I'm talking about. I've seen this cat in our neighborhood. Yeah, I know what he's really about. I've seen him. You know what I'm saying? Oh, some of the most difficult place, you know, for Jesus was coming back to your hometown. There's a lot of sayings that are out there, some of the most difficult place to go back to and to do ministry or to, you know, people have no idea the life that you've gone through, but they know enough and they label you. And that's what happened here, maybe led to doubt. Verse 3, he's just a carpenter. The son of Mary, brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, and his sisters, hey, they live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe him. What were these people doing? He's no better than us. What's he drawing all these crowds for? Who is he that everybody's so amazed at him? They were controlling their reaction so they could support their lack of faith. Catch that? Because there it is right there. I'm going to control my reaction on how I feel about Jesus, supporting my lack of faith. Gospel writer Mark used the word offended. That's a pretty strong word. It usually means anger, okay? And shock, revulsion. This is huge. This is what I felt when I went to Cece's this week. I was actually sitting down there doing some stuff, and a guy in a Speedo sat down next to me. Oh my gosh. Anger, revulsion. I'm like, this guy needs a dose of wild men around here. Jesus sat back and he was doing some stuff with people and he was talking to them, and there's all these haters. He has his 10% club. They're like, I know you. What are all these people following you around for? You're that carpenter's kid. Why am I putting all this emotion into it? Because you need to read it for what it is. There is a ton happening in this story, and it's big. Go to verse 6 and you see what I want to lead you to. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Jesus was amazed. Talk about being out of control. One of two things that amazed Jesus. Faith and lack of faith. Those things amazed Jesus. Let's go to the next one. Matthew 8, 5. When Jesus arrived at Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed, racked with pain. Okay? Centurion. Very powerful person in the Roman army. And in this day, Jewish culture, okay, he typically would have been hated. So you have this crowd of people following Jesus, part of the culture, and this guy walks right into the crowd. And obviously things part because he's hated. And he walks up front and he begins his story. Something different about this guy, though, because he came to plead on his servant's behalf. I don't get it. No Roman soldier would ever plead for a servant. During that time, a servant was no better than an animal in the eyes of a soldier. So there's something different about this guy. Anyway, he comes to Jesus. Doesn't even ask him to heal. He just asks Jesus. Here it is. Look at it. My young servant lies in bed paralyzed, racked with pain. Verse 7. Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. The officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word. From where you are, my servant will be healed. I know. Because I'm under authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, and come, and they come. If I say to my slave, do this or that, they do it. Okay? So what we've got here is this guy that's all about control. His whole life has been control. He controls others. He controls situations. He's in control of decisions. But now with his servant, he feels completely out of control. Walks right into a group of Jewish people, and the crowd separates. Probably as a Roman leader, he'd have gone any place else but to Jesus. But he's in front of Jesus. And he's out of control. He's heard enough about Jesus, and he takes it right to him. And when I read this, I told you last, you know, a lot of times I try to put myself in the situation. You know, I'm just thinking in terms of what it would have been like. I try to imagine what would have been my response there? Okay, what would it look like in my mind? I can almost see Jesus a little caught off guard. What? This is interesting. You know, that double look, that Tom Hanks look from Apollo 13 when he finds out his friend never got the measles. He's like, you know, what is going on? You're standing in front of me, Mr. Control, out of control. You know, expect banners and Aretha Franklin to jump out with the R-E-S-P-E-C-T type thing. Nothing. It's out of control. Look what happens in verse 10. Jesus heard this, and what does it say? He was what? Yeah. Amazed. Turning to the crowd, he said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all the land of Israel. What I'd like for you to write down is amazing faith. Find somewhere, put it down. That's what this passage is. You've got one with no faith and another with amazing faith. All in the same crowd. Jesus isn't impressed by control. He wasn't impressed that the guy was a centurion soldier. I see you got the goods, you got the garb. Didn't do it for him. He was impressed by his faith. And if you were to read more about Jesus, he always responded to faith. He said, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. Because of your faith, it will be granted. Your faith has healed you." Look at these things in Scripture. Constantly saying this to people. Your faith, your faith, your faith. I love that these two events are juxtaposed. You put them both together. They're totally opposite. On one side, you have these people who knew him really well. They knew him really well. They followed him all day long. And yet, he was amazed at their lack of what? And then this one guy comes in. He's like, I tell you the truth, in all of Israel, I've never seen anything like this. Folks, that's worth stopping and parking on just for a moment. Hundreds of people following him, but a lack of faith. Sounds familiar. Wow, could that be happening in our modern day churches? Lots of people here for attendance, but are we following Jesus? Is our faith something? Guy who's all about control, feeling out of control. In that feeling is honored. A centurion, a Roman in front of these Jewish people is honored. I want to tell you where I'm trying to lead you. I'm trying to lead you just to capture one thing. I know that when everybody loves heading out of here, heading to lunch, football's on TV, and the different things that we do, we go and watch, you're not going to remember much. So I want you to remember one thing, okay? I want you to do a little better job than last week remembering something. This is it right here, okay? That faith is trusting God with control. Last week, sacrifice is the investment to greatness. Faith is trusting God with control. Let go. What I want to do is turn you to this. How does faith impact you today? Relationships, your spiritual journey, the one that you're on. I have people that say, "Oh, I don't have big faith, Andrew." You guys talk about big faith. That's a, you know, that's kind of a big churchy thing. You know? Your pastor's got a lot of faith. You're supposed to. But I don't. That's for pastoral teams and small group leaders and women's retreat directors and, you know, big faith. That's not for me. I'm a follower type thing. Hebrews 11:6. Let me tell you, the only thing that pleases God. Great verse here. Look in your notes. So you see, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that there is a God and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Okay? There's another time Jesus was hanging out with some people and He said, you just need to have seed-like faith. Remember this story? Small. Like the size of a seed. Not tremendous faith. Not mountain-sized faith. But mustard seed faith. Okay? The image this week. Last week we had a box. If you have a wallet, pull out your wallet for a second. Okay? Some of you are visiting church. You're going, oh, I knew it.
Here it comes. No, we're not talking about money.
Just pull out your wallet. Ladies, if you got to dig through your purse, don't. We'll be here all day. Just pull out. If you have a wallet, pull it out. Okay? I want you to look at that for a second. That's a pretty important small thing that you would not leave the house without.
In fact, you can go even smaller and
pull out your debit or something like that. Or how about your license if you're over town or something's needed? You would never leave the house with it. And yet it's that big. Okay? And the image I want you to see here is it's small. It's significant. You head to Vons, without that, you're screwed. You're heading over town, you forgot your keys, something small like that, and you're headed to the Pike, you're like, oh my gosh. It's like forgetting your phone. It's small, but it's significant. If I were to sit here and tell you that your faith needs to be like this bag right here, this huge thing, you probably would not want to leave the house with this. Most of us, this ends up in the house somewhere. Probably in the closet where I found this because my wife owns it, okay? And you would not want to leave the house with this. It just doesn't make sense. Because some of you are sitting here going, you know, you're talking about Billy Graham. You're talking about Moody. You're talking about Pastor Rick Warren's faith. Mother Teresa. And the bottom line here is, no, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something small and significant that you leave the house with that's enough for your day. You'll never take that with you. Take something small with you. Jesus is looking at something here and He's putting us in perspective. Some of you have some big needs on the table right now. I know them. I know them. Some of them are very physical. Okay? Some are financial. I have one in my own family right now. We have big needs going on. Where is our faith? Don't freak out and say, I wish I was Pastor Rick Warren or no. Something small. You ask me what I think is one of the biggest problems with Christians is we don't leave home with our faith. I know so many people say, I'm a Christian. At home maybe, at church maybe, maybe in a small group, but your faith doesn't enter the domains of your life. How about Vons? When you literally can't even move in one of those aisles without bumping into someone, and you look at someone like, hey, you know, and that's as good as it gets. Or guys, see that Chargers game the other day? Yeah, heck of a game. How about real conversation? Because you matter. How you feeling? How did this work out with your spouse? How's your daughter doing? You know, significant stuff that matters. Relationships, sports, whatever it may be. Some of our students struggle in sports. They want to look good for their coach. And they never vocalize that. They haven't got those interactive skills quite developed, and they struggle. And I think one of the reasons is we don't get it. This is the image I want you to see. I want you to be able to see that I can have my faith. Jesus is amazed by little faith. The mustard seed size. It's not about money. It's not about the valuable, essential, you know, large things, you know, cars or whatever else. It's about the valuable, essential, small things that really are where dictating the course of our life right now. That's the thing. What's dictating the course of our life? Do we have faith in those things? Not the real big stuff that are huge and overwhelming, that are months away. But what about today? Some of you are like, yeah, I've got some tough decisions even to make today. Those things need to be handed over with seed-like faith today. We're to go out to lunch today, okay? And you were to buy, like Steve's Steakhouse, the M. Okay, never mind. And we were to go knee to knee, and we were to talk, and we were to sit there and, you know, really engage. And I love doing stuff like that. And our conversation really got into something. It boiled down to control. What I'm saying is, I'm not worthy. God is in control. That is a conversation where someone says, I was, but I'm not anymore. And now my life's moving forward. Somewhere along the line, you might even say, Andrew, how do I get more faith? How do I develop that? Or maybe in the same vein, that's what the disciples meant when they talked to Jesus. Look at it, Luke 17. They asked this very question. One day the apostles said to the Lord, we need more faith. How do we get it? So we're hanging out, we're at lunch, and you say, where do I get more faith? I don't believe that there's a one size fits all for everybody. I don't. My brother and I were talking about this yesterday, my middle brother. We're all in different places in our spiritual journey. There might even be several answers to this. I would start by saying this. Faith has to be developed. It doesn't develop overnight. It's like a muscle. Somebody asked me, I do a lot of stand-up paddle. I'm out here doing it all the time. Big whoop, okay? Somebody asked me to join this outrigger team. I'm like, oh, sure. More paddling. I can handle that. Till the first day, and we got about 8 miles out. I'm looking at the same guy doing the same thing, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? I was dead tired, too, and sore in so many places. And then 5 months later, we're not doing 8 miles, we're doing 16 on a normal Saturday morning. All of a sudden, 3 races later, we're doing 21 miles. And all of a sudden, last weekend, we cross the channel, and ultimately, with warm-up included, did 36 miles with a team of dedicated, focused people. We started in the harbor, my friends. How the heck do we steer this thing? It's huge. We practice steering. We practice running into things by accident. We practice different people in the back and where they're comfortable, different people up front. Timing, rhythm, timing, rhythm, timing, rhythm. Sweat, sweat, sweat. Flipping, flipping, hooli, hooli, hooli. Let me tell you something. We didn't cross the channel the day after we started this thing. We crossed the channel 7 months later. We started small. I learned, that's pretty much what I'm talking about this weekend, is everybody that runs a marathon starts small. Everything you do, your company starts small as it grows. You trust employees and they're good people and you start building on that. You understand this. Start small. Let me give you some ideas. Some steps to faith. I would add these in your notes. They're not there. Maybe the highlight ones that you like. Number one, start by acknowledging me, Jesus says. Start by acknowledging me. For some of you, this would be a great first step. What do I mean by acknowledging? Maybe for some of you, you're growing over this category, you can get a little confused. So maybe this baby step of faith this week is acknowledging that there is a God. Because when the media takes over and you watch too much news, and it's hard not to watch news right now. A lot is happening right now. But you wonder who's in control. Don't wonder. Pay attention to the news, but don't worship the news. Worship God. He's in control. There's a lot happening right now in the universe, and planets are lining up. God is in control. I know things down in Mexico were absolutely horrific this week. They're still finding people. And I know that that's the same fault line that comes all the way up through Southern California. And I know that it reaches all the way up there to San Francisco. God is in control. On the East Coast, towns are still flooded. Carpets are being ripped out. Bodies are being found in nursing homes. I know it. I get it. I have family there. God is in control. You must hear this. Because we run around and these things are dictating the course of our life. They are important and they belong in control of the Father. What can you realistically do about it other than freak? You must hear this with a loving heart. God doesn't want a freak. He doesn't want you controlling. He's got this. A step of faith. Acknowledge Him. Number two, follow Him. Jesus said, follow me. Some did, some didn't. Some did, some didn't. I'm always amazed at the fishermen when he says, at once they left their nets. Dang it, if they were biting that day, I'd have some decisions to make on that one. You guys that love to fish know what I'm talking about. When their fish are running, they left their nets. You've been living life your own way. There's two ways to live life. I can either live my way or God's way. You want life, life better than you ever dreamed of, follow God's way. Let go. And that's a step of faith. Number three, get to know Him. Jesus says, get to know me. Why? Why would you want to get to know Jesus? Because the more you know about Jesus, the more you know about God. He's the image of God. And remember last week I said, Jesus is the visible expression of the invisible God. You want to know God? Get to know His Son. The character qualities of Jesus. Putting our faith in the promises of God. So when the centurion said, I am not worthy, you are. What was he understanding? I understand as much as I can see the character of God in Jesus and develop these characteristics in me. Maybe talk about him with friends. Join a small group. Doggone it. Small groups are firing up all over the place right now. I don't even know how many there are. Caitlin was telling me about a great study Sunday or Tuesday morning. She got something great out of it. Dealing with letting go of control and anxiety. They're firing up all over the place. Guy stuff, girl stuff. This is that time of the year. Man, it's a great place to get to know Jesus. Maybe your step of faith this week is looking into that. Sit down and take a step of faith. Read Matthew or John. Just read more about Jesus. Number four, watch me. Jesus says, watch me. Watching how God works. I mentioned earlier a little boat ride I got to take this week. It was late, about 10:30 at night. It wasn't planned. It was just, let's go see Monty. And we got out there, and one adventure led to another, and all of a sudden these lights came on this boat, and it just lit up the surface of the water. Flying fish, and I mean, it was all right there. The dynamic was unreal. When the lights came on in the darkness, there's so much eco happening at night. It's nocturnal beauty. The Creator is up to stuff even at night. Amen? I'll never forget that moment. I got to know Him by watching Him at work. It was a pleasant evening and it was just a brief moment. It didn't last very long. But one of the things I love about life is when I'm in a restaurant or a ball field or at school and I talk to people and somebody introduces themselves to me and they start telling me their story, I love that. I love story. I love my story. God's developing stuff inside me. And when I hear stories of life change, you know what it does for me? It reminds me that God is God. He is God. That person's not the hero to the story. God is. And it makes me more confident to put my faith in Him. I love that. Here's one. How about sacrifice for my sake? That's what we studied last week. Jesus said, you sacrifice for me, you'll be rewarded. Not 100%. How about 100 times more? That's pretty cool. The last one here is obey me. You want to talk about injecting steroids into your faith? That's how you do it. You obey. You do something you don't feel like doing. I can go on and on about this one, and I'm not. But my journal's filled with it. I do stuff I don't want to do all the time. And when I look back on it, I'm like, dang it, I'm glad I did that. You know why? Because I learned something. I let go of control and I was taught something. You know you need to reconcile with that crazy aunt. You don't want to. She's nuts. You don't want to do that. But you say, I'm going to take that step of faith and go do that. Any time in my life I've said, I don't feel like it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to talk to that person. I don't want to forgive that person. I don't want to do what's right in this situation. But I'm going to obey God. My faith increases. Right now, circle one. Highlight one. Circle one. One that feels that that's your next step. Like that's your step. Then I want you to draw a line to the word faith. Just write it somewhere on your paper and draw a line to it. Connect the two. Circle one, faith. I'm a visual person, so I play with it. I write stuff all the time. Connect. Let me give you a little tip from Andrew Hobbs' life. This is what I do. When I find myself being controlling, I pause and think, that was a controlling statement. Or I tried to control that. Or I sense it from the Holy Spirit or my wife, the second Holy Spirit. Okay, says something and I feel like it was a controlling deal. I'll pause right there and say, God, help me to have more faith. I pause, literally. And you can almost see my lips move. God, help me have more faith. I'll say that. God, help me to have more faith. I don't see this right now. This person's talking to me and it's blowing up into something big. God, help me to have more faith. I'll do that. Help me to have more faith. Let me close by asking you this question. Can you see this in your life? Can you even imagine this stuff coming alive in the areas of your life? Not just once a week, but you come and grab the big faith message. No, but all the little areas of your life. Yeah, you begin to see faith control. When my daughter was young, I mean like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, she had a doll that she would never leave alone. This doll was always with her. Everywhere she went, she took this thing, and she got it from her grandma who made it. Little cloth doll, absolutely the cutest thing you ever seen. But after taking it everywhere and dragging it everywhere, there was basically nothing left on this doll. There was just no face. There was absolutely nothing left to look at. And the clothes were gone. The eyes were gone. It was just shredded. And she would not let go of this doll. This is Lulu. Okay? What's left of Lulu? And Madison would never be seen without Lulu. Ever. Okay? And she's getting married in June. So we'll see if Lulu shows up for the wedding. She's growing up fast. And I'm being reminded of that as I see this right now. But what I'll tell you is this. We needed to do some surgery on this. The dress was not there at the time. It was just this bare cloth doll. And it was losing its stuffing. And we're like, Maddie, we got to do something to this doll. No. We're gonna clean it up. No, you're not. You're not. You're not. We need to fix Lulu, okay? If you don't let go, we can't fix it. And I heard that statement. It was burned into my spiritual life. If you don't let go, you can't fix it. If you don't give it up, there's nothing he can do about it. If you're going to control, it's going to keep falling apart until there's nothing left or there's any value to it. You must let go. Father, I thank you for the way that these things burn into our soul. The life of a centurion showing humility. A man in the midst of a Jewish culture walking up and saying, I don't even need you to heal him. Just speak the words. I'll take it. Just speak the words. Jesus amazed. I've never seen faith like this anywhere else. Father, may that be said of us this morning. May you look down and see something as small as even smaller than our wallet to say, I've never seen anything like that in Avalon. I tell you the truth. Unbelievable. Amazing.